Brethren, will you please come and join me up front? Just sit out here, please. Yep. Just sit out here. Right here would be great. Yep. Have a seat. Good to see you. Come on forward. If you move over this way, Alabella, Nico, and can you move over this way so I can kind of look at you this way? That'd be great. I love to see so many children. Yep. And keep on moving over. Squeeze in here a little bit. There you go. Okay. Good to see you. Now, this is Easter, but I want to ask you a question first about Christmas. It's a bit strange. Is Christmas about Christmas trees? No. But Christmas trees can point us to what Christmas is all about, right? Because Christmas trees have a point that goes up, like a steeple of a church pointing to heaven, which is where Jesus came from. And we put lights on Christmas trees. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we put sometimes red bulbs on Christmas trees that remind us of Jesus' shed blood, that we might have life in his name. And speaking of life, those trees are green, aren't they? You'll need to sit down for the duration, I'm afraid. But those trees are green, and of course that reminds us of life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Christmas is not, or Christmas trees are not what Christmas is about, but Christmas trees remind us of what Christmas is about. And I like that nodding of the head there, understanding. And now I want to talk to you about eggs and bunnies. Is Easter about eggs and bunnies?
No.
Oh, you're so bright. But can eggs and bunnies remind us of what Easter is all about? Ha.
Yeah.
I got a thumbs up in the back. We'll see. We'll see. Great. You know, let's talk about eggs first. And, all right, eggs, okay. Here's one egg. Now, how do eggs remind us about Easter, and the Easter story? Anyone know?
There's a,
yeah, there are eggs in the carton. But how do eggs maybe remind us about what Easter is all about? Yeah?
Because I know it's about three eggs and Easter.
Yes, you know a lot about eggs. Yes? Okay, they're white like Jesus is pure. That's a good one. Right. Yes? Life, right? Because what comes in eggs? It's not. It doesn't always mean eggs and bacon, does it? Or that delicious egg dish that we're going to have at the brunch. Sometimes there's a little life inside, isn't there? A baby bird, right? So that makes us think of life. And there's another way that eggs remind us of the Easter story. And that is that life, Jesus, was buried in a tomb. So there's life that was contained, right, inside a tomb when Jesus was buried. Right? Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of eggs and Easter. Did you know that long ago, and sometimes today, during the 40 days that lead up to Easter, that are called Lent, people don't eat meat. And way back when, they would not eat meat for those 40 days before Easter, and that included eggs. They wouldn't have eggs during that time either. And so, when it came to Easter Day, sometimes as a special treat, someone would give out an egg to someone. Right? Now, if I had a chocolate egg, and I said to my daughter, Florence, would you like a chocolate egg? She'd be excited, right? Now, in the old days, if they said at the end of Lent and on Easter Day, would my son Titus like an egg?
Yes!
He'd be excited like that! Huh. How times change, don't they? You know, there's another early Christian tradition having to do with eggs. And that is, some say it goes back to even the third century, that they would dye eggs a deep red to remind them of Jesus' shed blood for our sins. And that may have led to other decoration of eggs as time went on. And the decoration of eggs became more popular in the Middle Ages, so that King Edward I of England in 1290 had purchased 450 eggs and had them decorated in bright colors, including gold leaf, and gave them out to the members of his household. A little later on, they developed another activity having to do with eggs, and that was called egg rolling. So we might take a duck egg or a goose egg, and they might decorate it, and then they would start at the top of a hill, and they would each roll an egg down. And they would see which egg rolled the farthest without being broken. Have you ever done that? And that rolling of an egg would sometimes remind people of the way that the door to the tomb was rolled away. Now, nowadays, we do egg hunts, don't we? We search for eggs and try to find them. And sometimes we use plastic eggs like this, right? We go and find them. So many of you have done that, right? And part of what's so wonderful is that you open it and there's a surprise, right? You're wondering what's going to be inside. Would you like to do that now? Okay. Well, why don't you have one? Okay. And don't open it until you sit down again, okay? Take an egg, but don't open it until you sit down again.
Okay.
Sounds good? All right, brilliant. Okay, all right. Yep, just one, just one. All right, just one, and don't open it until you take your seat again. Yeah. Okay, don't worry, there's plenty, and you'll all get one. Yeah. There you go. All right, great. Okay, good job. All right, did everyone get one, and they're seated now? Did everyone sit, get one, and then they're seated? Yep. Yep. Yeah. And just have a seat there, Juliet. Yep. You want to have a seat now? Yep. There you go. Perfect. Okay. Now you can open your eggs and see what's inside. What is it?
A candy.
Is that a good thing? A candy? You like that?
Yeah?
Okay. And if you want, you can take off the wrapper. And you could even put it in your mouth now if you'd like. That might give you something to do while Mr. Jackson is talking. All right. I'll give you a moment. Now, I have an egg up here, right? Do you see my egg? See that? But my egg is a bit strange. See that? What's that? A hole. There's an opening in my egg. What's happened? That reminds me of Easter morning, when at the break of day, some women went out because they loved Jesus so much that they wanted to go and bring perfume and put it on Jesus' body, which was wrapped in linen cloths. That was a way of honoring and loving those who had passed away. And so they went to the tomb to do that. But, and if you've been listening to the scripture readings during the service, you'll have been reminded of this. They found something different, didn't they? What did they find at the tomb? Yes? Yes, there was an opening. Jesus was gone, and there was an angel, right? There were angels at the tomb who spoke to them and gave them a message. A message that meant to the world to them. The angel said, Jesus is not here. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And I want you to go and bring this message to the disciples and let them know. And then tell them, I'm going to meet them in Galilee. And so the ladies went on their way to faithfully deliver that message, right, from the angel. You know, two of the disciples, when they heard the message from the women, they said, we've got to go see this for ourselves. And so they ran. They didn't walk. They ran to the tomb. That was the first Easter morning foot race. And there was Peter, and there was the one who won the race. And John doesn't tell us who he is. They went and they looked into the tomb. And you know what they found? They didn't find an angel. You know what they found? They found just, okay, can you sit down, Juliet? You do? Okay. I bet I can even do that. So, what they found was just the wrappings. Just the wrappings. Now imagine if you had opened your egg and you didn't find the sweet inside, you just found the wrappers. Right? Now, you'd be surprised, you'd also be pretty disappointed, right? Well, what were the disciples to make of that? Just the linen wrappings were there. And there were the wrappings, and they were separated from the face cloth that was on the face of a body that was dead. And that was folded up neatly, right? It's like, there's wrappers in here, and I might wonder, who got into my egg and took the candy, right, and left the wrappers, and then they folded one of them? That would be very odd, wouldn't it? And so the disciples wondered what happened. But you know what? While I might be disappointed that there's no sweets in my egg here, the disciples began to get excited. Because you see, if someone had stolen Jesus' body, they wouldn't have unwrapped his body and left the linen cloths there. And they wouldn't have folded the face cloth neatly where his body lay if they were robbers. That would be like a robber breaking into your house and stealing your most precious thing, and then before he left, doing the dishes and folding the laundry. That I know of, there's no burglars who do that. And the disciples didn't know any burglars like that either. So they began to believe. What did they begin to believe? They began to believe Jesus' words. Because Jesus had said three times that the Son of Man, which was his favorite way of referring to himself, must die and be buried and rise again. So, someone mentioned that I have this egg carton, right?
With a red egg.
Do you like eggs?
I would love to have the golden egg.
Do you like green eggs and ham? Nope, nope. Sorry, you have to sit down. Yeah, it's hard. I know, it's hard. You know, there are four main kinds of eggs, okay? There's a, let's see here. There are raw eggs, okay? This is a raw egg. Okay, ready? Whoa! Is it going to get on me? Maybe, probably. Ready? There we go. The white and the yolk. Okay. And on my fingers. Yes. Okay. And then there are hard-boiled eggs, right? Hard-boiled eggs. And that's where you boil it in water usually, right? Now, if I crack this one, right, on the side, what's going to come out? Well, it's not runny, is it? That's a hard-boiled egg. The white and the yolk are hard, right? So it doesn't just spill out, right? Now, there's another kind of egg called a soft-boiled egg, okay? And this one is hard like that one, but the middle, the yolk, the yellow part in the middle, is runny. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever had an egg like that? We used to have eggs like that, and we'd take off the top, and then we'd make toast soldiers, little strips of toast, and we'd dip it into the yolk and eat it. Right? So that's a soft-boiled egg. And then there's another kind of egg, and this is sort of just going to represent that, and that's an egg that has life in it, right? That has a real-life bird in it, right? That's another kind of eggs. There's four kinds of eggs, right? Now, it makes a great deal of difference what kind of egg it is, right? Now, if I were to take an egg, right, and say, I'm going to smash it on my head, it would make a great deal of difference, right, what kind of egg it is. If it's a raw egg, boy, it's going to be a messy Easter Sunday morning, but my hair will be in better shape. If it's a hard-boiled egg, well, that'll be okay. The egg will just crack, right? If it's a soft-boiled egg, I'll still be all right unless I break it open and the yolk gets out. But if it's an egg with a real bird inside, I wouldn't want to do it at all, would I? Because I wouldn't want to. That's right. I wouldn't want to kill the bird, right? So it makes a lot of difference. There could be a real life inside the egg. Or it could be other things that we might just eat or do something with. So it makes a great deal of difference, right? If I choose an egg and I say, what am I going to do with this egg, right? And I say, how about this egg? How about this yellow egg, right? And then I decide, well, I'm just going to... That was different, wasn't it?
Whew. So
there are different kinds of eggs. And, you know, that was just to keep you interested. So, you know, that reminds me... The four different kinds of eggs reminds me of what Paul said about Christianity. And you guys, we'll clean this up afterwards, okay? We'll clean it up afterwards so you don't need to play with the confetti or clean it up now. Though I appreciate how well trained you are. We'll bring a vacuum in later, don't worry, okay? All right, don't worry, we'll bring a vacuum in later. So Paul said that there's different kinds of Christianity, just like there's different kinds of eggs, there's different kinds of Christianity. And he said that there's only one kind of Christianity that has real life in it, that has power in it because it's true. Right? Because there were some people who were saying that Jesus died, but he didn't really rise again. Right? There were some people saying that. Or they're saying maybe Jesus didn't really have a physical body, so he didn't really die in the first place. But Paul said there's only one kind of Christianity that has life. And that is the Christianity that teaches and proclaims that Jesus really did die, he really was buried, and he really did rise from the dead. And that makes all the difference. Because if you believe the wrong kind of Christianity, then there's no eternal life. You know, Paul said, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then listen up. Guess what? Paul said, okay, listen up, Juliet. Yep, ready? So, if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, then he said, we're still in our trespasses and sins. Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross wasn't really accepted. It didn't work. God's plan didn't work if he didn't rise from the dead. And it means that if we die, we're not going to rise again to eternal life. Because if Jesus didn't rise, then we're not going to rise. Those who have believed in his name. So a lot is resting on whether it's really true that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, in the scriptures, it's a good thing that it doesn't just say this is true, but it provides eyewitnesses who really saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. That his disciples all saw Jesus, and Jesus even said, come see, come touch. Touch where the nails pierced my hands and my feet. See my side where the Roman soldier had pierced me with a spear. And the disciples weren't the only ones who saw Jesus, right? You heard in the reading, there were women that morning, Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary the mother of Jesus, right? These women also saw Jesus. And Paul mentions that it was one occasion where 500 saw Jesus at the same time. So there are many eyewitnesses to Jesus really having rose from the dead. And that gives us confidence and great hope that death no longer has a sting. That means we don't have to fear death anymore. Because when we die, we will rise again if we follow Jesus. That's wonderful news. And so it says, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is it? Where is your triumph? You don't triumph over us, because we who believe in Jesus will rise again, just as he rose again. Now, I said that I would talk about eggs and bunnies. Why are bunnies associated with Easter? Yes? It's like life that came out of the tomb, right? Life? They're associated with spring, aren't they? Have you seen any bunnies yet this spring? Not yet this spring?
One.
You saw one? Yeah, so we associate the coming of spring, right, and all the new life in spring with Easter, right? With bunnies, right? And you know what else about bunnies that's pretty remarkable? Listen to this. Bunny rabbit mamas, they, from conception to giving birth, do the whole thing, develop a baby in their womb in 30 days. And they can get pregnant almost immediately after giving birth. And when they give birth to baby rabbits, which are called kits, one litter of these kits could be 4 to 12 baby rabbits. Ooh, could you imagine? If you were going to have a younger baby boy or girl and it turned out to be 4 or 12 of them. In fact, the world record for a mama bunny gave birth to 24 kits in one birth. And that's not all. Because they can get pregnant multiple times in a year, under natural conditions, a mother rabbit can give birth to 60 to 80 kits in a year. Woohoo! Can you imagine? Wow! 60 to 80 bunny rabbit babies in one year. So, bunny rabbits make us think of new life, and they also make us think of, I'd say, the spring, and we might say even abundant new life, right? Abundant new life. Lots and lots of new life. In the hard winters in Syracuse, and sometimes we look outside and it's gray, and we're hoping that it's sunny, right? We're hoping that we see more flowers, right? More signs of spring being here. But I like to remind people in Syracuse that spring is unstoppable. You can't stop spring. It's inevitable. No one can stop it. You might get a late snow. It might be delayed. But nothing can stop spring from coming. Nobody, no army, no powerful men with loads of money, no big group of people. If the whole world tried to get together and stop spring from coming, guess what? It would still come. Spring would still come. Nothing and no one can stop spring. And that's like Jesus is coming. Nobody and no one could stop him from coming. And nobody and no one could stop God's plan from taking place and from working. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again so that he could offer us eternal life in his name. And no one and nobody can stop it. And what season comes after spring?
Summer.
That's right. And can anyone stop summer from coming?
No.
Nope. No one can stop summer either. And isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
No school. You know, the angels, when Jesus left his disciples, you know, he was going to meet them in Galilee. And after he met with the disciples and he spoke with them and he taught them, he ascended into heaven, on the clouds into heaven. Okay? Now, when the disciples were standing there watching Jesus go up, and they were still looking up at the clouds, and an angel appeared. And he said to the disciples, "Men, why are you looking up in the clouds? Jesus, the same Jesus, is going to return just as he went up. He'll return with the clouds." Right, from heaven. And so, Jesus, when he was ministering, said this, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And Paul writes, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be the first to rise. And after that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will always be with the Lord." Eggs and bunnies. Is Easter about eggs and bunnies? No, it's not. But do eggs and bunnies remind us of what Easter is all about? They do, and they can. Eggs and bunnies are signs of spring. I should have said, don't try that at home. And spring and Easter are signs of something so much greater and better. Easter and spring are signs that the one who is risen will return. The one who is risen will return. On Easter Sunday mornings, we say, Christ is risen. And what do you say? Do you know what to say when I say Christ is risen? He is risen indeed. Can all of you say that? Christ is risen. Okay, and I want to teach you another one. Christ is risen, and then you say, and will return. Ready? Christ is risen.
And will return.
That's right. Just as spring is unstoppable and summer follows spring, the one who is risen will return. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I want to read to you a little bit from the last book of the Bible. That's right, Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 21, so the next to last chapter. And you know what it's describing? It's describing what summer will be like, right? Hey guys, let's do that afterwards with the egg cracking and the chatting, okay? All right, boys and girls at the back, that would be fantastic. Ready? All right. So, Revelation chapter 21, right, says this. It's describing summer in heaven, when everything comes together. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God. You have to sit down and be quiet, okay? Thank you. Shh. Yeah. Yeah. A New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Let's pray. Will you pray with me? Okay. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son and that you loved us so much that he might come and die upon a cross for us. We thank you that he was so holy and perfect and innocent that death could not hold him and that he rose again from the grave. And we thank you that that means that all who believe in him and follow him do not need to fear death anymore, because we will rise again and have eternal life in his name. Help us to receive this truth, this power by your Holy Spirit, and to live accordingly. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.